This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We got a great show planned today. During the first hour, we will have Patrick Hitches on discussing the good, the bad, and the ugly of CrossFit. I read a recent blog post of Patrick's, and he's very fair and balanced, no pun intended, about his observations of CrossFit, and we'll be talking about that shortly. Later in the show, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Randy Roach, and author of Biblical Nutrition, Richard Tucker, who will be joining us from New Zealand, where it is already Thursday morning, to talk about his book, Biblical Nutrition. Just want to remind everybody that time is running out to join or enter to win $600 worth of free product from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The drawing will occur the 31st of this month. One lucky winner will receive $600 worth of free product of their choice from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. Don't miss this wonderful opportunity. Those of you in Canada can join also. Just use the field where it says state for province. Get creative, and you can join as well. So don't miss this opportunity. The 31st is right around the corner. Okay. Patrick Hitches is a accomplished Olympic trainer, and he has written a blog post on his website, Patrick Hitches, HITCHES.com. Observations about CrossFit. We've been talking about CrossFit just recently when we had Brooks Kubik on, author of Dinosaur Training. And his observations of the CrossFit games, we started to speculate that CrossFit could produce a lot of injuries. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm great, Carl. How you doing?
Good, good. Give my audience a little snapshot of your CV. You are. Why should people care what you think?
Well, I've been in the fitness arena for quite a long time. Trainer, strength coach for about 8 years. Level 2 USA Olympic weightlifting coach. I'm here in the heart of D.C. training some serious clients and athletes. And in relation to what we're talking about, CrossFit, I just have an opinion, and let's just put it that way. It's my stance.
Right.
And I think strength coaches and knowledgeable people in the profession have similar concerns with what we're talking about today.
Okay. So with that being said, have you seen the recent broadcasting of the CrossFit games on one of the ESPN channels over the past weekend?
I've seen glimpses of it. I didn't spend too much time on it. I'm not a huge TV buff.
Okay. I was on the treadmill the other morning warming up for a training day, and I happened to be watching the CrossFit games. And I was one movement stuck in my mind that we talked about during the show with Brooks Kubik during this week, and that was this spinal hyperextension movement that looks like a crunch, but you actually go beyond parallel all the way down till your hands and head touch the ground, and then you spring back up. The body from the waist up looks like a metronome, and I have to think, being an observer of kinesiology, that type of hyperextension is not good for the spine. Am I just being a puss saying that because I can't do it?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, potentially if you train your body to do some crazy things. I mean, we see the gymnasts. I know that's part of their culture is to become proficient at the gymnastic moves. You can manipulate your body. I mean, we know that. But I think in relation to what the issue is, I think it's more the core values of what CrossFit is breeding. Utilizing movement patterns that are geared towards power and explosiveness and turning them into high repetition, high volume, endurance, type movements. When your body is at its vulnerable state.
Vulnerable state because of the movement or because of the acquired weakness that starts to occur?
That's a good point as well. I think what happens, and people won't even realize this for months or even a year down the road, is the micro-trauma that's going on in their shoulders and their muscle fibers and their tendons and ligaments. In a year down the road, they're still at the same strength level. They haven't gotten any further in their training. They're working harder than ever, and their body just isn't keeping up, and they're in a situation where everything is just ready to break. And that has a lot to do with legitimately at the base level of CrossFit, Greg Glassman, who is this is what we are trying to accomplish, utilizing the Olympic lifts in high volume patterns and getting proficient at them, but doing 50 overhead squats in a regional competition. The overhead squat is a part of a whole for the Olympic snatch. To take that one piece and have somebody use it in an endurance style is just not what it's meant. That's not what it's meant for. It's not what it was created for.
Now, obviously, if you ask those at CrossFit, they'll tell you that what they are doing is building stronger people by pushing people into these compromising situations. The body supercompensates and becomes stronger at those movements. Would you
right.
agree with that at all, or would you disagree with that?
I'm glad you said it like that. I definitely want to, right out of starting gate, say I am all for the people of CrossFit, those that actually go to CrossFit, do the WODs, you know, put the hard work and effort and energy into it. I think they're phenomenal people. You know, they're working their tails off. It's the institution of CrossFit that we need to look at as coaches and trainers and those that know what we're talking about need to face the institution of CrossFit itself and look at the underlying foundation of what they're doing. Now, the actual participants of CrossFit, they have a strong voice. They're in it. They have nailed community, so they feel a part of this. You know, and I think
right.
we're all looking to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, and they've got it. You know, and I think gyms and fitness facilities around should take note because they're crushing it. They're crushing that component of it. And all these participants, they're gonna stand up for this. And, you know, they're gonna fight back and lash back at anyone that talks out against.
Well, sure, I'm sure that right before they drank the Kool-Aid, those people who follow Jimmy Jones would have debated whether they were doing the right thing with you. They would have told you, yes, we're doing the right thing. I mean, obviously, when you become a zealot, you abandon
right.
all logic.
Right.
You abandon all critical thinking skills, and you allow to be you allow yourself to be whisked away with emotion, and that's yes. where your decisions are coming from.
Exactly. And you know, they're having a great time. You know, their work. You know, we all like to put ourselves to the limit. It's just they're being pushed in a direction and being led in a manner that is, in my opinion, off the mark. And that's to me, that's what needs to be addressed and realigned and pointed in another direction. And I think it's something that we can work with, too. I think the CrossFit community should be here to stay. I just think we need to get in there and fix it from the inside out.
Okay, so what you feel that CrossFit has done correctly, or the good of CrossFit, is the community building bond that they've created, so much so that they can even have an event like the CrossFit Games with so many athletes turning out.
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. I mean, it really is. And they've gotten thousands and tens of thousands. Who knows how many people off their couches going back to the gym day in and day out. You know, that's the biggest struggle for any trainer or coach, is to keep their clients motivated, coming back, excited for their workouts. And they've nailed it. It's great. It's awesome.
But, you know, now look. What if it can't be done any other way? What if you didn't have these highly ballistic movements that seem to make people feel like they're doing so much more? I mean, there are a lot of critics of CrossFit say that a lot of their athletes abandon all of the tenets of form. And they, you know, like when I was watching the guys and gals doing the overhead squat, some of their shoulders were so far back that I can't help but think that after that event, they had shoulder problems shortly thereafter. Like within days, they had shoulder pain and they were like, wow. Because their shoulders were so overextended, so far behind them, that they had to artificially arch their backs to correct for it.
So,
you know, what if the reason that CrossFit is able to build a community is because they do push people into this realm of danger, and that almost creates some sort of chemical reaction in the brain that makes people feel like they're doing supernatural things, and that's what bonds everybody together there and makes them feel like they're doing such wonderful things. Because let's face it, you don't see powerlifters doing powerlifter games like that, and surely they're just as great athletes as CrossFit athletes.
Right. That's an interesting perspective. I mean, the psychology of going through something that has a lot of trauma.
Right.
And just a life experience together, it brings you closer. It's true.
In fact, I forget what it's called. There's a name for it. But there was a hostage taking in some Scandinavian or German country, and ended up becoming the name of a syndrome where people actually bond with their captors. There is a lot of that happens when you are actually in a traumatic experience. There's a lot of bonding that goes on with the people that are traumatized with you, as well as those who are creating the trauma for you. You know about women who marry their rapists. You know what I mean? It's like,
there's
a lot of legitimacy to what I'm talking. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about what you feel really is what CrossFit gets wrong. We're talking today with Patrick Hitches. He wrote a great blog post on his blog. Go to his website, Patrick Hitches, HITCHES.com. I think it's very, very fair, very balanced, and not hypercritical of CrossFit, as you can see. But it does speak to some of the things that are being echoed by other well-known high-level coaches out there about their concern about the CrossFit methodology. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit
Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ecdysterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gains. Go to IronMagLabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Patrick Hitches. We're talking about CrossFit, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, you make a really good, important point in your blog post. While CrossFit claims to be forging elite fitness, their mission actually speaks to something that, as you put it, is more of a jack-of-all-trade of fitness, which... You know, elite fitness implies specificity, but their mission statement implies something more like you'll have a broad range of strength that'll apply to anything you do. So it's contradictory, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, I think that's one of the major issues with CrossFit as a whole, and I think that goes all into the culture and I say community, and I want to say cult. Feel of it, you know, it's right. Bringing people in, they're really attached to it. They feel as if what they're doing is better. They're the elite of those working out. And that's their tagline, you know, forging elite fitness. And like you said, in their mission statement, they want to be a jack of all trades. They don't want to be specific and being proficient at any one individually. So they literally want to be mediocre at everything.
But many would argue, and they'd say, "Well, Patrick, you have to understand, we are teaching people to have functional strength that would apply to any area of life, lifting, fighting, or anything like that. And in order to do that, you can't focus on the deadlift or the clean and jerk because that's not all they're doing. We want people to be more functional. What would you say to that?
I say I'm all for being functional. I'm all for crossing the lines between different styles of training, having a nice balance. I don't think you need to do it all in one workout necessarily. Maybe space that out between the days. I think that my main issue lies in how easily it is to set up a box. You know, basically if you have a credit card, you can become affiliated with CrossFit. Now everyone in your neighborhood knows you're affiliated with CrossFit. They have no idea what your history is. You go get a one-weekend certification. You know, you maybe you lifted some weights in high school, you know, and now you're teaching someone how to do a snatch, a clean and jerk, some of the most complex movement patterns there are in the weightlifting world. And people are just going to put their trust into you, not really knowing what your credentials are. And it all goes with the CrossFit feel. I mean, this is what it is. You know, that's why you become affiliated with CrossFit in the first place, is so people recognize who you are, come to your gym, go through your quote-unquote glorified boot camps, because that's what they are, the cookie-cutter programs, and unless the coach is experienced and knows what he's talking about and can develop their own training, utilizes some of the CrossFit protocols, but get more specific with the groups that they have. We've got a huge population of people that are vulnerable for.
Well, wouldn't it be counterintuitive to think that CrossFit would attract a Charles Poliquin, for instance, or a strength and conditioning coach of a high caliber like Mike Boyle would not become a CrossFit gym owner? So by virtue of that fact, CrossFit is going to attract people who want to be involved in the CrossFit movement, but don't necessarily have a high level of competency in strength and conditioning.
Exactly. That's a good point. My position on that is it's becoming a CrossFit affiliate is a crutch. It's for a trainer who is not necessarily confident in their abilities to start their own studio, have their own concepts, and give their own perspective on training, and give that to their clients, and that should be enough. I think the CrossFit people, you know, as from my experience at this point, I think my stance or people on my side of the spectrum, they think we're speaking out against it because we're worried our clients are going to flock to CrossFit, and that's just not the case. There's thousands of people that need to work out. It's not an issue of a territorial issue. It's just an issue of we need to do this right. People are going to boxes. They're working out. It's happening. Now we need to make sure it's accurate and appropriate for the population.
Well, let's talk about something that I would classify as the ugly of CrossFit, and I didn't know this until I read your blog. Is it true that there is a caricature called Uncle Rabdo that is promoted by the Cross? Okay, for those of you who remember, Rob Regis shared his hospitalization from rhabdomyolysis as a result of a literally all-day training session he did. And he was rushed to the hospital because basically what happens, creatinine and protein breakdown is so high that the kidneys become backed up and you are hospitalized. Mm-hmm. And you can die from this, by the way. It can cause permanent kidney damage. Is it true that Uncle Rabdo is almost embraced as maybe a mascot to, if you're training hard enough or you just can't, if you're not strong enough to withstand the CrossFit training routine?
Oh, yeah. That's kind of part of the thing. And I know that the first time you throw up in a CrossFit studio, you get a T-shirt with the clown-looking guy puking and Uncle Puky, you know, Rabdo puking. They embrace the work harder, not smarter mentality. For, you know, not for better or worse, but for worse. I don't feel every workout needs to be to the point of puking and taking your body to such extreme limits that you're risking kidney damage and failure. It's crazy.
But now let me ask you a question. I'm gonna be CrossFit, okay? Yes, okay. But when you push the body to these extremes, as a result, the body becomes more conditioned and more resilient and more resistant to these types of extremes, and you end up being a stronger human being. What would you say to that?
Oh, I say by all means, every workout should be pushed to its boundaries. You need to be pushing yourself hard, lifting heavy, but you need to be doing it smart.
But organ failure shouldn't be an indicator.
That should not be an indicator. and if you're a part of a community that embraces that, you might want to take a step back, look around, and really think about what you're doing.
Imagine this, just for a second. It's a funny notion, right? You're interviewing a personal trainer, and you say, "Well, tell me about some of your successes." And the personal trainer sits back and glowingly says, "I've given 7 people a heart attack. That's how hard I train." And then, would you continue to write that check?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's and I'm not going to say funny, but it's coincidental that you say that. Before I released this article, a good buddy of mine who's a straw man, I had him read over it, and he was at my house, and he kind of had this calm over look over his face, and he's kind of, and I was waiting for a response, like, because I know he's not necessarily, he's kind of on my, has my position, and he just kind of stops, looks up at me, he goes, you know, just last March we had a guy, because he does straw man, he uses some space in the facility.
Right.
And it's a CrossFit facility, though, so he knows the guy who does it. It's a huge space. So he sees a lot. He sees a lot, but he obviously doesn't partake in any of their shenanigans necessarily. But he looks at me. He said, just last March, we had a guy do his WOD.
Now, what for those of us who are not CrossFitties, what does WOD mean?
WOD is an acronym for Workout of the Day.
Okay.
Yeah, so the CrossFit will spit out a workout a day, give it to the, you know, they have
to their followers, and their followers have to do that. Okay, I got you.
You know, they don't have to. I think the individual boxes, it's up to their discretion of what the WOD is for the day. But I think they do have an overall WOD that they kind of distribute. Anyway, so he looks at me, he goes, you know, just last March we had a guy do his WOD, go home, has a heart attack on his living room floor and dies. Just like that. He pushes himself to the limits. And the trainer actually said, who was overseeing the workout, said, yeah, he looked a little off today, you know, and then just he has a heart attack and dies.
Have you heard about anybody else? Have you heard any other stories of CrossFit members becoming injured or hospitalized? Didn't you write about a SWAT team member or something like that?
Yeah, SWAT team member. He was he was under all kinds of meds for. I think it was. I linked to the article. It was actually a CrossFit Journal article talking about rhabdomyolysis. About 5 days he was in the hospital, I believe, under a morphine drip.
Because of a CrossFit routine, right? A WOD or whatever you call it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I can't imagine. I guess we are. Awash in people who are looking for extremes, extreme skating, extreme everything. You know, people want extremes.
Oh, yeah.
They want to push their bodies to extremes. And I guess CrossFit is exercise to the extreme, isn't it?
It is. It's everything. Once you get past, you know, high school and college, you know, where you're in your mid-20s, you're in the real world, you're looking for something. You know, and I think having that physical challenge, that physical exertion, and that community of CrossFit, you've got a bunch of people your age, or, you know, all ages, going through the trenches together, and it's happening, and it's real. But if we can just shift them slightly in another direction, change a few things, make a few tweaks, this thing can be pretty cool.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up. We're talking with Patrick Hitches. Go to his website, Patrick Hitches. HITCHES.com. Later in the show, Randy Roach and Richard Tucker. We're going to be addressing biblical nutrition. We'll be right back.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
lead.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USLWellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USLWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Patrick Hitches. Today's segment is called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of CrossFit. You know, this notion of having a WOD, a workout of the day, that is disseminated amongst the parishioners, if you will, does sound like a religion, you know? Here's today's prayer. The notion of having that does not take into account the individuality of the trainee. What if you have a trainee who is nursing an injury, and you give him movements that are going to exacerbate that injury? What do you think about it? CrossFit really is the ultimate cookie cutter approach to exercise, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And it's not just body weight movements that you would do on your living room floor. It's real weight and bars and putting people in vulnerable positions that may or may not know any better.
What are some of the most vulnerable positions you've seen in their routines? What are some of the routines that you feel the worst offenders?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, just in general, having someone even do, let's just be baseline here, doing a front squat without having the flexibility or mobility to get their create that rack. You know, you've got all that weight just pounding down the wrist. I mean, this is a very I wouldn't say.
Oh, you mean they don't push it? They don't place it across their shoulders?
Yeah, you know, it's someone who doesn't have that mobility yet,
right?
And it's not being addressed. And you'll see that in all kinds of pictures. I mean, obviously, the elite athletes that are competing in the games. Hopefully, they've gotten to a proficient enough. But those were athletes prior to CrossFit. You know, who have a baseline, who have some knowledge. We're talking about people coming off the couch, starting their WOD literally first week, getting some base knowledge from maybe a knowledgeable trainer who knows what they're talking about to learn the clean and jerk and the snatch and all these movement patterns. Whereas if someone come off the couch, they should have 6 months to a year of basic movements.
Like Ollie lifting, Olympic lifting type movements. They should have all their form down, right?
Oh, gotcha.
Because I mean, Coach Wade Johnson comes on the show and says it can take an individual up to a year to truly get technique down right.
Exactly. Completely. And if someone doesn't have a baseline experience, even moving weight, period, just doing the basics, the barbell row and the bench press and squats and deadlifts, you need to work that client out for 6 months to a year before you even start pushing them under the bar to learn those complex movement patterns. Your muscles, your joints, tendons, ligaments just can't handle it. It's brutal on the body, especially if done incorrectly, with the form not 100%.
Would you venture to say that the majority of individuals that are coming into CrossFit, maybe only training with CrossFit for 3, 4, 5 months, are executing most of their movements with poor form?
I would say so.
There's a picture on your blog. I'm looking at it. And it's got a guy holding on to a set of rings suspended from the ceiling. And I'm trying to figure out what it is that he's doing. And it says CrossFit F form. And F being abbreviated for radio. Is he doing an ab movement? Is he doing a back movement? What is he doing?
Oh, man. I think he's doing some type of what they call the kipping pull-up type thing, potentially on the rings, or maybe he's pulling himself up to do some type of gymnastic moves. Honestly, it's there. Another major issue is they do sets for time. So you've got these people trying to do as many pull-ups, and the kipping pull-up, whatever the heck that is, for time. So form, it's not about form, it's about getting the reps in. And it's, they don't really care if the form falls. I mean, I think a coach that knows what they're talking about is going to emphasize form, definitely. But there's a lot of coaches out there that just don't know what they're talking about anyways when it comes to CrossFit, with all these boxes.
Why do you keep referring them to boxes? Is that what they call their gyms?
Yeah. So if you want to open up with a quote-unquote box, you just whip out your credit card, pay CrossFit a fee, and you can call yourself CrossFit whatever. CrossFit Carl Lenore. Yeah,
right.
Whatever you want to do. And call yourself a box. And then the people know you're affiliated. They can go there, do their WOD.
Is there specific equipment that has to be purchased? I mean, do you have to have these items in the gym, or you can open up with whatever you have?
I think you have to have some of the basics.
Yeah.
Some of the bumper plates and some of the gymnastics gear and all that. The boxes for box jumps and stuff. Some basic essentials.
I mean, there are those out there who would say doing sets for time, which is really considered density training because you're always trying to increase the number of sets you can do in a given time, is not a bad thing. In fact, I did it this morning. I trained legs this morning, and I was able to do 8 sets, 8 giant sets. I had 1,100 pounds on the leg press machine. I did 10 reps on leg press, immediately went to leg extensions with 160 pounds, immediately went to leg curls with 160, and did 10 reps with a minute 30 seconds rest in between. And then as I get further into the routine, my rest is longer. And so I was only able to do 40, I was only able to do 8 sets of that in 40 minutes.
Right.
Were you
trying to get as many reps as possible in as short a time as possible?
Well, as many giant sets, adhering to 10, because I know that once I get above 10 reps, my form becomes really, really sloppy with that kind of weight.
Right.
I'll start bouncing my knees off my chest, or I'll start struggling, the last couple reps with, and I have the potential to kind of maybe lift my butt off of the seat, which is a damaging thing to do on leg presses. And so I stay with the 10 rep range because I can execute those. It's still hard. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm just pushing through it. I mean, it's hard, but I know that if I start going to 12, that's when the exhaustion kicks in and I'm going to get sloppy and that's when I'm going to injure myself. And so I'm trying to do the maximum number of giant sets in 40 minutes with that weight at those reps.
Right. I think giving yourself a parameter, a set rest period, and moving through your workout in a executed manner is a good thing. I think the issue comes when you take a circuit and just kind of haphazardly throw these things together and just pick them out of a hat and have you do 25 snatches, which is ludicrous, and then hop over here and do 50 box jumps.
Right.
A box jump is again, it's an explosive power move. You want to focus on that individual rep.
Right.
You don't want to train your neuromuscular pattern to just go through the motions as quickly as possible. You want to stand there, get in position, and focus on that explosive jump. If you've got 50 reps to pop through and you're doing it as quickly as possible, you're just training your body to go through that motion as quickly as possible. You're not focusing.
Won't you get something out of that, even though you're not executing each rep, so to speak, with precise attention?
I mean, you'll sweat, you'll work hard, and you might puke.
Yeah, right. And that seems to be a good thing at CrossFit. So there you go.
Right. It makes you a better CrossFitter.
If you puke.
It makes you a better CrossFitter. It's not going to do anything for muscle growth or body fat composition, body composition. It's not going to do anything for that. It's just going to make you a better CrossFitter, and you're going to be able to execute the movements in a CrossFit manner.
If they love you when you puke, I mean, I've been in a lot of powerlifting competitions, and anybody who's never been to one where this has happened, you just haven't been to enough of them. A guy doing a squat will poop himself. So, I mean, I'm talking about when you get, these guys that are squatting 900 pounds. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, intestinal pressure going on. I guess if in CrossFit, if you puke, you're great. What if you crap yourself? That means you're like a god, I guess, right? You've trained so hard that you've lost all bowel control.
Yeah, or even better, coming out both ends, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Then you're like a CrossFit hero. Hey, did you hear so and so crapped himself today? Oh, I hope I do that someday. You know? That is pretty funny. I stand to be corrected, but Mark Ripito has been on this show years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago. I stand to be corrected, but Mark Ripito was one of the founders of CrossFit.
Okay. I'm not.
You know who he is?
I'm not sure.
Have you ever heard of the B and R bar, the deadlift bar, the B and R bar?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Mark Ripito is the R in the B and R bar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Mark is a great guy, and he's actually, he wrote a couple good strength and conditioning books. One is called Starting Strength, and the guy is really sharp, and I could almost swear that I heard somewhere that he was one of the original founders of CrossFit, but he left. He left, right. And he's not allowed to talk about why he left.
I've heard multiple stories with this. There's been anyone in the early stages, Rob Wolf with Paleo, who they link onto as well. He was in that early crew, and now Rob Wolf's a huge advocate, speaking out against CrossFit as well, or at least a lot of the topics that we're talking about. From what I hear, if anyone who was a part of the original crew who's trying to implement protocols that are, let's just say, logical,
right?
They have a falling out with the guy Greg Glassman, who apparently is the leader and has that extreme personality that
He's the grand high poobah of CrossFit. We have to take a commercial break, and we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Patrick Hitches. It's a great article. He's got lots of great stuff on his blog. Really, really cool stuff. Maybe we'll talk about one of the other articles there. His website is Patrick Hitches, HITCHES.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Don't go away.
You may not not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Later in the show, Randy Roach, author of the seminal work Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, is joined by Richard Tucker, author of Biblical Nutrition. This is an old book, by the way. Really old. But its information is more pertinent today than ever before. We're talking right now with Patrick Hitches. Patrick, are you trying to lose 40 pounds, really?
Oh, no. I've already been there. I've already been there and done that.
Tell me about it.
That was
February, right?
In that particular article that I wrote, it's just kind of talking about how I'm one that likes to just live life completely. You know,
which means pizza and beer, apparently.
right, exactly. I'm no different than everybody else, you know, and occasionally I'll just take a set amount of time and just go buck wild. And that particular was last fall, and just kind of accept it and just kind of go with it and have a good time, drink a lot of beers, eat a lot of late night pizza. I know it sounds completely against the grain of what I do, but you know, just knowing that January 1st, I'm going to turn on the switch and just go to town. And I kind of made it a little journey for, you know, all the people that read my stuff, and every week posting the update on Facebook, the album. So starting out at 19% body fat, and just every single week for 12 weeks got down to sub 4%. And in that particular article, I was at 40 pounds down. I think ultimately, all in all, I dropped 57 or something.
Holy
like
mackerel.
That.
In what period of time?
Yeah.
12 weeks?
12 weeks.
So how did you do it?
Weeks.
What was the core of what you did?
Yeah, it was more of the traditional bodybuilding methodology of dieting. Yeah, and I tried lots of different things, and my belief system on dieting, it kind of goes all over the place with what works and what's effective. But we know that bodybuilding prep, will strip the body fat.
Yeah.
So it's the frequent small meals, getting a little ketogenic on it when the need be to really get that body fat just stripping.
And then refeed here and there to keep the thyroid functioning
refeed,
properly.
Exactly. Refeed once a week or throw in a cheat meal if that seems appropriate. Getting that thyroid kickstarted. And a lot of the fasted cardio first thing in the morning. Weights no more than 4 days a week.
Why no more than 4 days a week?
It's especially in that caloric deficit. When you're trying to lose that body fat, your body, you need that recovery time. And
yeah, but that's what anabolic steroids and growth hormone is for. No, I'm just kidding. Nah, man, you don't have to do
exactly.
that. No, you can actually train. You can train 8 days a week, like the Beatles song.
Yeah, twice a day, right?
Yeah, there you go. Do two a day. There you go. Hey, you know what? Do CrossFit two a days. There you go.
I did a wad 3 times a day every day. That's how I did it.
There you go.
So it was more the traditional stuff. So it was kind of a good time, starting early January, 12-week body fat, just strip it down
Your transformation is really, impressive. Your legs in the, before picture, your legs look really thick. I have to believe that's more muscle than fat.
Oh, God. Well, I would say it's a little of everything.
Okay. But the picture in the picture with the iPhone, in the bathroom, you're ripped. I mean, you got all you can see all of your ab muscles and your obliques and everything else. I mean, you look really good.
Yeah, well, that was actually 4 weeks before the final. I mean, I think I was about 8% at that point. I got down to 4. I should put an update up there. I should put an update.
Yeah, you really should, man. You should.
Yeah. But since I've kind of shifted a little bit, the dieting methodology has definitely shifted a little bit. Have you heard of John Kiefer?
Yeah.
With the Dangerously Hardcore, the carb backloading?
Yeah. I actually, some of my listeners have been telling me I have to get him on the show at some point in time, so maybe I will.
Yeah, you really should. Actually, I just touched base with him just yesterday. I'm going to be talking to him next week, talking about
But tell him, he's got to come to my show and bring something original that he hasn't talked about on anybody else's show yet.
I like it. I'll let him know that for sure. Yeah, it's some pretty good concepts. I'm not sure if you read the concepts or not, but it's definitely outside the box.
Yeah. Well, in summary, like just to close the chapter here, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong per se with the notion of CrossFit, but what is it that you think would need to be tweaked in order for it to be kind of safe for all people or to promote overall injury-free training for all people?
Yep. I think there needs to be strict regulations on who can open up a CrossFit box, training that just goes above and beyond. Having the coaches go through weeks and weeks of training to make sure that they're proficient, and screening process, really.
Yeah.
I think they need to, from the base level, change their core values of executing these complex movement patterns for high repetitions. Maybe throw them early in the workout for 3 to 5 reps, to work on power, and then move more into your muscular endurance type circuits if that's how they want to roll.
Right.
And then right from the get-go, don't lie to everyone and say we're forging elite fitness. Let them know what it actually is. We're be. Yeah, I don't want to be whatever it would be. You know, we're be good at a little, we're pretty good at everything type of feel.
Right. Which I think what is the mantra of functional strength today? You know what I mean? The mantra of functional strength, I think, is actually to be able to build the body in such a way that no matter what you're doing, gardening or playing rugby, your strength will apply. I really think that's where, and maybe that really is what their goal is. And if that's the case, they need to embrace that and get off of the forging elite fitness mantra. Maybe that's all they need to do.
Exactly. Yeah, a few tweaks, and I think they could have a good thing going.
So now, is it not true that you will be opening a box later today, and this was your negotiation platform with the?
Yeah, I've actually opened up three during our conversation.
There you go. Click, click. Three of them are open. Okay. Hey, listen, Patrick, thanks for agreeing to do the show today, man.
Mark, I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay, take care.
All right,
go to his website. It's Patrick Hitches, HITCHES.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break, pay some bills, and when we come back, we're going to have Randy Roach and Rich Tucker on the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle building fat burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you're just tuning in now, don't forget, Muscle Gauge Nutrition is giving away $600 worth of free product. The drawing is the 31st of this month. Don't miss your opportunity. They've got great products there. Weight gainers, whey protein isolate, whey protein hydrolyzed, vitamins, minerals, fat burners. Everything you can imagine is right there at Muscle Gauge Nutrition. $600 worth of free product. You don't have to take it all at once. If you're the winner, you can take $100 a month. Order what you want. But don't miss the opportunity. Go to superhumanradio.com and enter to win. Okay. I'm really excited about this interview here because, first of all, I have my good friend, my mentor, Randy Roach, on the phone. How you doing, Randy?
Good today, Carl. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. We're joined by a guy that I learned about by reading Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Volume 2. And his name is Richard Tucker, and he joins us on the other side of the globe, where it is actually 5 o'clock in the morning, Thursday, New Zealand. How you doing, Rich?
Hey, very well, Carl.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Very well.
Now, I want to talk about something specifically, which is a book that you wrote back in the 80s, correct, Richard?
Actually, it's about 1974.
No, oh my gosh. Wow, you were really ahead of your time.
73-74.
Are you, Richard, are you aware of the whole paleo nutrition movement that's afoot right now?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's a very interesting one. To me, it's sort of it's a big step in the right direction.
I agree. However, you tended to focus on more of the Neolithic area of time. And wrote this book called Biblical Nutrition. Why did you write this book, first of all?
Well, basically, I was connected with a fellow named Mike Brown. I knew Mike Brown. I'd read some of the things that he'd written. He was a very interesting guy. And I was always interested in nutrition when I was a kid, and basically the history of nutrition. You know, how did people eat? You know, how did they develop to the way that they developed? And it was sort of, the book was almost part of my own journey, because Mike had asked me, we discussed nutrition at length over a period of time, and he had asked me to write a book for him based on what we call biblical nutrition. What did people eat in those days? And Carl, of course, as you know people were in societies by that time, so they were growing crops, they were growing food. So I based it on that, what were they eating during those times. And it was sort of part of the evolution to get more towards paleo. So, the book itself was part of my journey, actually. And it's accurate for what the people ate at that time. But, frankly, over the years, yes, I moved far more towards the raw food movement and, the paleo movement. But with the step that, as far as I'm concerned, paleo, I'm not cooking it, mate. We're just going raw.
Yeah, no, I know you are. We're going to talk more about how you eat and how you've been eating for a while. Randy, what made you include Richard in this book? Because obviously, was he one of the earliest that you found that was talking about eating raw, unplug your stove and start eating raw meats?
Well, our man Tanny was, as I discussed in Volume 1, was doing that in 1947. But our man didn't talk about it. He kept it to himself, even though he wrote for Joe Weider for a number of decades. He never really overly spoke about it that much. When I came across Richard first, when I was reading about Mike Brown, because like as Richard said, Mike really kind of thinks outside the box on many things. And he had written a book called The Strength of Samson and How to Attain It. And of course, it was written along biblical lines. And that's when I found out about Richard. And I was trying to track him down. By the way, Richard was only 23, I believe, when he wrote that book back in 1974.
Wow, how insightful. Wow.
But it was, I had given up. I had no idea he was on the other side of the world by that time. And so I included a quote from him. And then I would say I was at the end of volume two. And I ended it with a vegan vegetarian named Charles Fraser. And just at that time, I had received an email from Richard who came across volume one and was just thanking me for mentioning him in volume one. Huh. And we started talking. I learned he was also eating raw meat.
Right.
Back in, I'd asked him, were you eating raw meat? Not necessarily now, but back in the 70s? Because that's what volume two primarily was, in the 1970s.
Right.
And he said, yes. And I thought, well, this is a great opportunity to include in that last chapter with muscle meat and vegans. And what was amazing when I found out about Richard is he grew up in Chicago. He was part of the Duncan Y with Bob Guida, Terry Strand, and all those guys. And he was also over there visiting Arthur Jones early in 1972, I think. Was that right, Richard, before he went off to Mexico and got a nice little sex lesson from Arthur before he went off? But all this stuff was all connected. It was all, he was definitely, I knew I had to reopen it and finish with Richard as the last character in the book.
Richard, when did you start eating raw meats?
Basically, the first time I ever ate raw meat, I was just a kid. I probably was about 10, 12 years old. Just like others, they'd see their mothers, mixing ground beef with onions and peppers and things like that, and it looked pretty good. My father always used to eat raw eggs, so I'd see him do that, so that got me started. And then I'd see her mixing up meat, and by the time she cooked it up, you know how dry it was. You know what ground beef can be like.
Right.
So I said, what do I want to eat this way for? I'm going to try it the raw way. So I'd sneak a bit here, sneak a bit there, and it tasted pretty good. And frankly, look, that got me interested in saying, well, how did people eat before they cooked food? And Randy, as you and Josh Trentine, said on Carl's show, a year ago or so, look, all humans were raw meat eaters at some
stage. At some point in time.
They all were.
Yeah. And it's
absolutely
funny because,
how on earth did we last this long?
Your introduction to I'm sorry. Oh no! I was saying your introduction to raw meat is exactly my introduction. My dad used to eat raw eggs before he was a truck driver. He would take an egg and he would poke a hole in one end and then poke a hole in the other end after he put the end to his lips and suck the egg. He'd do that with two eggs every single morning. And when my mother made meatballs, my father used to come and pick the raw meat mixed with eggs and breadcrumb out and eat it. So I started eating it like that as a child. And my mother never got upset with me. It was just natural for us to do that.
How good was that? And then you cook and you ruin it.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I don't know if it got ruined, Richard. It was pretty good when my mother made meatballs, I got to be honest with you. I used to like to get them before they went into the sauce, that's all. But anyway,
And to me, I wanted to see how things made sense.
Right.
And all you heard, when you're a kid, and when you might tell an adult, well, I ate this, and my God, you're going to get worms, you're going to get parasites, you're going to get sick, you get hookworm, heartworm, you're going to get, this and that. And then, miraculously, you survive. What's happening here? And so, basically, it led me to search it further. I wanted to find something that disproved what I was doing. Why shouldn't I be doing this? But something? In all of research, in everything you read, I have never once found or come across anything that conclusively proved that eating raw meat was detrimental to health in terms of, parasitical invasions, things like that that were killing people. And then they'll discover a guy buried up in some glacier for 4,000 years, and they'll take him apart, and they'll say, look, there's hookworm casts in his stomach. There's heartworm casts. Oh, my God, what's wrong? But they don't tell you, and then later they do, that they also dated him to be probably in his 80s. His joints were looking pretty good. He had a full set of teeth. And what the hell is he doing crossing a glacier?
Yeah, at 80 years old.
Spit.
Never mind that.
Give me some of those worms. I'll take some of them.
That's what I was going to say, Randy. I was going to say, maybe those worms are good for us. Who knows?
Well, if other planets would contend that the body may have actually produced those. He says that the body produces bacteria, virus, fungus, mold to deal with certain toxic tissues in the body. But you should let Richard, what fascinated me about Richard is as he may be the only guy I know as a teenager in the late 60s, was researching the works of Weston Price and the works of Dr. William Beaumont that I included in Volume
right.
2. So here's this young kid at a time when basically everybody is ignorant on nutrition, and the low-fat craze is really starting to make its way in, and he's researching this, going to the library, looking up material on primitive tribes and the works of Price, and coming to these conclusions at such an early age.
Why, Richard? Why is a child, a kid your age, even interested in this sort of stuff? Were you sickly? Did you have someone in your family who died early? And were you wanting to find answers? Why?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, like I said, it was a nutrition thing. Biochemistry, it always interested me. Biology was always interesting to me. And the fact that someone would tell you, well, you shouldn't eat this food for this reason and for that reason, basically, you know, you get a bit stubborn. You want to say, hey, why not? Prove it to me. Why shouldn't I eat this way? Why shouldn't I have this way? What did people used to eat? So it basically kicked me off on a bit of a search. You know, you could call it, you know, I had a bit of an interest in archaeology, anthropology. And there used to be an old bookshop near my high school, and that they had all the old type books and books from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And that's where I stumbled across a book, you know, Weston Price, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And, of course, you know, I'm very pleased that they still print that book. I've got a copy sitting in the office here now. And I was able to get a hold of it, read through it, and it just made so much sense to me. And then in those days, the popular nutritionists, of course, you had Paul Bragg. You had Adele Davis, who wrote on a whole series of things. But, of course, they were all cooking their foods. But they did allude to the fact that, oh, yeah, primitive tribes, yeah, they did. They did eat their foods raw, and they did seem to not suffer from the same degenerative diseases that we suffer from. And in high school, I don't remember the name of our high school biology book when I was a freshman in high school, but amazingly, they talked about Alexis St. Martin, and they talked about William Beaumont. And to see the fact that Beaumont was digesting raw meat and pretty much near the time of cooked meat, it just made even more sense. If we cook meat to digest it better and to improve all this sort of thing, why the hell does raw meat digest almost as quickly as cooked meat when it did that work?
And I can give you some anecdotal information that I've talked about with Randy.
Yep.
I started eating raw meats when I met Randy. When he opened my eyes to it, and he talked to me about it. He didn't push it on me. And then I thought, you know, I ate raw when I was a kid, like I told you. I remember after doing a show with Randy and Josh, I think, or no, maybe it was just Randy, I went out and bought a pound of organic, grass-fed ground beef. I ate
yep.
the entire pound inside of an hour. If I would have eaten a pound of cooked beef, I would have felt like lead in my stomach, at least full, and I felt nothing in my stomach at all, and I didn't get sick and die
Absolutely.
That night. So what you say there is actually very true.
Absolutely.
That was 6 years ago, Carl.
Big thing.
Yeah, 6 years ago. Isn't that funny?
Wow. Wow. That many years ago.
Go.
I had that interview on an MP3 file, Carl, and I remember in the interview you had Randy on there and you were speaking about your now ex-wife and her aversion to you eating the raw meat. I almost drove my car off the road. It was so funny.
Yeah.
We were driving on the east coast of the South Island here, and it's absolutely hilarious. So your show reaches the whole world, mate.
Wow.
I've listened to your show on an MP3 file driving on the beach down here, down by Invercargill, on a nasty, rainy day, so that only the dog was outside running. I wouldn't even go outside. So.
Oh, that
the
touches
poor
me. Thank
dog
you
had
so
to
much.
Do the business.
Thank you so much.
But, Matt, your show reaches everywhere, so it's a very enjoyable show. But, yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah.
But that's one thing I noticed. Now, I had to go to, I was in Melbourne a few weeks ago. And so, yeah, I ate some cooked meat, you know, at a restaurant, had a few steaks, had some ribs. And it took more to fill me up. It took more to
right.
satisfy me.
Right.
When I eat raw meat, mate, I can eat maybe a half a pound to a pound. And look, I'm good virtually for the day.
Right.
I find that I actually probably eat cheaper eating raw than I do eating cooked.
Yeah.
If I can say that. And
yeah.
know, between that and eggs, I just feel energized from it. The you know, that's one big thing I noticed. You know, we could take it a step further. Now, what Randy said about you know, Argenis Fonder Planets, and over the years, I've read his book. He's got a couple books out, and he makes probably, in terms of the published nutritionists now, to me, as far as I'm concerned, he makes more sense than anybody.
Yeah. He does have extreme views. And I want to talk about some of these things. No, I love Arjunas. He's a great guy. You know, I don't agree with everything everybody says, but nobody agrees with everything I say
like
either.
That. Yep. Yeah. You need a guy like that who's out there.
Because,
you know, how often have you thought, hey, what if I had a broken leg and I didn't set it? What would happen to me?
Right.
And here you got a guy like Arjunas. He's been there, he's done that, and you can find out. He's a tremendous reference to me, that guy.
Yeah.
I've never spoken to him. I've just read his stuff, and I've read his newsletters and looked in it. And like you say, he's another guy. He's out there.
Yeah.
To me, it's tremendous to have someone like that out there. Now, and for Randy to tie all this and all these people together, it's terrific. As Randy's mind is encyclopedic in terms of his knowledge of the iron game, nutrition, his own search for health. And this is what, to me, is inspirational and is often can be inspiring for so many people who listen to your show and read Randy's stuff.
Yeah. No, I know.
Now, I've taken a step further, much like Arjunas. Now, we talk about digestibility of meat. As you go on in this, you start trying different things. And, yeah, I tend to eat more rotten meat now than
and
what I
And
did.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about high meat. I have to take a commercial break. We've gone a little over. And that's actually what I want to talk about. I want to talk about high meat when we come back. We're talking with Randy Roach and Richard Tucker. Randy Roach, you know his website is randyroach.ca, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors banner ad. If you want to see a current copy of Biblical Nutrition, you can get it at the website Leviticus 11. That's Leviticus and the numbers 11.com. And you'll find an updated version that's been updated through 2003. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. All you'd ever hear me
say is how I picture me. No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product, bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ectosterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy to maintain gain. Go to ironmaglabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Oops. I did it again, baby.
Yeah.
The ladies are gonna love you.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is from Rolling Stone magazine. Congratulations on a riveting panoramic read. God knows where you found the will, energy, patience, and focus to write something this ambitious and definitive. That was about Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors Volume 2. If you have not read Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, stop listening to my show right now. Go to randyroach.ca to get Volume 1 and Volume 2 and become educated on the history, the origins of physical culture and its nutritional origins as well. You know, physical culture has contributed all the things that people like Richard Tucker and Armand Tanny and Jack LaLanne were doing back in the day. These are the things we're finding out are the things that improve the quality of life, longevity, and health. You can find a lot of this information in the Bible of Physical Culture, Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. There you go.
Hey, okay. Carl, can I just make a little statement there?
Yeah.
That quote was from Paul Solotaroff, and he's a writer for Rolling Stone and Men's Health, but he wrote that. Actually, he didn't. He gave me a plug in the Immense Health article, but he gave that quote to me directly. So it wasn't actually written in Rolling Stone magazine.
Okay. You went and ruined it for me, Randy.
I just thought I'd keep it
on. Okay. I know. You're too honest. Anyway, okay, so let's talk more about the book Biblical Nutrition for a second. What about high meat? I have that cookbook that Agenis puts out. And it teaches you how to make high meat. You cut it into cubes, put it in a mason jar, put it in the fridge, and you got to leave it for about 2 weeks, taking it out and waving it in the air outside to exchange the air, putting it back in, and you can't eat it until it gets moldy and stinks so bad you should eat it outside. Is that really beneficial, Richard?
Oh, look, I found that stuff digest so fast it's not even funny. That what Agenis had said about that, Carl, as far as it... I've never eaten something that could put me in as good a mood as quickly.
Really?
Unless we talk about something in the old magic mushroom class.
I've done my share of that stuff, so I know what you're talking about. So.
you read about the Eskimos, how they would get different body parts and bury them for many months, and this is along the same lines. The kids, I used to joke with the boys, my sons, about that, and I said, look, we'll put this in here. We'll play with this a little bit. And we got some meat that at the butcher's, at the supermarket, they'll have the meat marked down. Oh, use today or freeze. Perfect meat, mate. You know, we just chop it up a little bit, put it in a container, stick it in the fridge, and every couple of days, just let a bit of air get into it, and then finally take it outside and eat it. It stinks. It's like eating sort of a very high cheese. But to be honest, I'd rather enjoy the flavor now. But I've never had anything that digested so quickly. I've never felt sick from it, but it almost puts you in a good mood. Agenis reckons probably it's the fact that the amino acids are so predigested, they just go right to work in your bloodstream. I don't know for sure, but all I know is, it's very easy to digest. I've made sandwiches out of it. After it had been out, after I got a bit of the stink out of it.
Right.
And, you wrap them up in a bit of, like, pita bread or something if you eat some of that. And, look, the kids have taken them to school and eaten them.
No kidding.
I've got a boy who plays on a, I've got a son who plays on a New Zealand rep age group soccer team. He's a very good athlete, and he eats that stuff. He drives the nutritionist crazy because they get him down to the training center and training ground telling you to eat, you know, high carbs, sugars, and a lot of you must eat grains. You have to consume this, have to consume that. And basically, essentially, says, look, mate, I could probably kick your rear end and this guy and that guy as well. I eat this way. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and in the United, thank God you're not in Chicago anymore, Richard, because they'd have you in jail for feeding your kids rotten food. You couldn't do that here and send your kids to school with it. Couldn't do it.
I'll tell you what, you know, I heard about that stuff, Carl. It's getting out of hand. You have where you get the they're trying to do it here in New Zealand though, Kyle. They're getting this Food Security Act through, Food Safety Act,
Codex
Alimentarius. They're pushing very hard, but you know, amazingly, even some of the kids in high school are starting to wake up. They're listening to things. They're reading things. One of the members, the local member of parliament, sort of like the local senator or congressman, came back to give a little talk to the school about this very thing, trying to say, oh, it'll help New Zealand food exports be safer for the world market. And they really had to go with this fella because they found out his parents, you know, had been farmers and they were now deceased and said, look, your parents would turn over in their graves if they saw what you were doing
right.
In your country. Trying to sell your country down the toilet, trying to do this. Well, they had the guy in such a rage that he started yelling at him. And he said, look, I could sue you and I for slander, saying this sort of stuff and all. And they said, look, how about you don't wait till we're 21 years old? You could sue us. How about you take us to court right now? And if the court isn't rigged and bought and paid for, we'll win. So they're not afraid of these people.
Right.
And, you know, they're starting to understand good food. Of course, most of the food in the New Zealand chain and the meat chain is grass-fed, Carl, because it's simply not economic to grain-feed cattle here. New Zealand grows grass like Ireland. They're probably two of the best grass-farming countries in the world. And the farmers understand how to rotate their stock properly, how to strip graze.
Well, and also the New Zealand government probably doesn't subsidize the growth of grain and then have to find ways to use it like the American government does.
Yeah, and they're trying, you know, the lobbies, Monsanto, yeah, they're trying to sneak the old GMOs in
Richard,
here.
Richard, they haven't succeeded yet. We're not allowed to call them Monsanto on the show. We call them affectionately Monsatan.
Monsatan. Yeah, good name.
Yeah, and when I on the Friday show I do my Monranto when I rant about Monsanto. But anyway, Richard, was there any evidence that there was writings about high meat in biblical times or any time in your research?
I couldn't find them.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything specific. You know, there's little things that would allude to things like that, but it was very Neolithic. I wrote the book for Mike, who'd requested it because, you know, of course, Mike, he was quite a biblical scholar. He's gone through several concordances. And basically, you know, my associateship with Mike, knowing Mike that way, got me to really research that book, looking for more things as well.
Right.
So I wrote the book for Mike as far as, okay, Mike, you know, this is how these people ate along your lines. And it was quite fascinating. He wrote about several other books that were not in the Bible as we know it, you know, the Book of Jasher, some other books like that aren't included in the so-called inspired books. And so I wrote that book for him, and that sort of just helped me along my own search.
Randy, are you a fan of fasting by any chance?
Not really. That I've tried with it, I just found it catabolic. It, depending on like how the length of fasting you're talking about, I've done some, and I've even tried urine fast, you know, which makes people's eyes roll. But even going for a day, I found it to become catabolic. Von Planitz has probably experimented a lot with 40-day fasts.
Yeah, that's way too long.
How long it took him to recover from it and stuff. But some people do go for, you know, at least 6-7 days.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about intermittent fasting under 24 hours, quite often 12-16-hour fast. If you time it right, you have your last meal, let's say, 7-8 p.m. at night. You forego breakfast. You forego lunch. You don't eat again until dinner the next time. That's a 24-hour fast.
Yeah, Hoffmeckler was writing about that in The Warrior Diet. And I know a few people who actually apply that, and they use it very successfully. As for bodybuilding, I'm not played with enough. I have tried a bit of it myself, but that's a
there is a culture being there's a good friend of the show named Adele Musa. I had you send the Muscle Smoke and Mirrors Volume 1 and Volume 2 to him in Munster, Germany. Yeah. He has a blog post that he does regularly called Intermittent Thoughts on Intermittent Fasting. And he has followed a fellow named Delfo Cerame, who has competed in the wheelchair bodybuilding competitions, who used fasting, intermittent fasting, and actually gained muscle while becoming completely shredded using intermittent fasting. So there's some techniques being experimented with out there that are proving to have value. But the reason I ask that is because, Richard, you wrote about fasting back in the 70s in Biblical Nutrition, did you not?
Yep, we did. We did, actually. In fact, see, it had to do with some of the people there foraging for food, fighting battles, as was in the book. And what would happen is that, obviously, the guys, they didn't have that supply of food. So rather than going on a therapeutic planned fast for a specific reason, it had to do with availability. Now, personally, over the years, I've found that I tend not to plan meals. I just eat when I'm hungry. And for me, that works. It keeps me, it keeps me lean enough. Not that I'm particularly looking for any particular condition, but I find I just digest the food better and I have far more energy that way. It seems to kick your system of utilizing the nutrition that you consume into gear.
Yeah.
Rather than say, hey, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, time to eat my eggs, time to eat my meat, when you're really not hungry. I think if you want to add bulk, yeah, okay, you've got to do something like that. I reckon, Randy will agree with that. You have to sort of overconsume, to get larger. But if you want to keep reasonable muscle mass, but and the energy as well to utilize it, to me, I found just eat when you're hungry.
Well,
and on a given day, that might be 3-4 meals. On another day, it might be once.
Right.
That's what I've noticed.
And there's a lot of good research out there, by the way, that shows that intermittent fasting increases sirtuin production to a greater degree than these ultra-low calorie diets that are near starvation that are supposed to increase longevity. That intermittent fasting actually has a better effect than starving yourself all the time if you're looking for that longevity effect of diet. So
you actually have quite a bit of energy too today and pretty sharpened thinking. Like I've found that with doing that. I just know that I think when Ori Hofmeckler was doing it several years back and writing newsletters, the bodybuilders who were trying it were saying they were having trouble getting the amount of calories they wanted in. But, I think Hofmeckler, he would eat for a period of 2 to 4 hours. So you can bring in, especially raw, if you sequence it properly, you can still bring in quite a bit of calories that way.
Yeah, no, and Ori's been on the show numerous times. And, in fact, his approach now is, to fast in the morning and use whey protein powders throughout the day because it keeps the body alert. And I have to agree with him because when I fast, it must increase dopamine because my libido goes up, my sense of well-being goes up. That same, if you had too much caffeine, I feel the same way when I fast. So it clearly has an effect on dopamine. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
You're onto something there. You're quite right. And see, when you read about the folks that have gone on the noticeably low calorie diets where they really get lean, they're also noticing bone density loss.
Yeah.
When they do the studies on these people. So what they feel they're gaining on the curves, they're losing in the straight. Now we deal here. I'm a chiropractor down here. And of course, we deal with elderly. Half of our practice would be considered in the elderly stage, and these folks, sometimes some of them lose their ability to digest proteins. Now, if we can get some of these people on raw juices, a tiny amount of raw meat, it seems to enhance their ability to digest these foods. And then if I can get them on a very abbreviated weight training program, something that in some cases takes them 5 minutes, they have shown increases in bone density.
Yeah.
And, so this is the sort of thing we work on here. as well. And you could, so it's like a little bit of a living laboratory.
Yeah, very cool.
But
we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about two other subjects. I want to talk about the chapter Milk and Red Meat, why you have those two in one chapter. And I also want to talk about honey and milk separately. We're talking today with Randy Roach, author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, and really the person who gave this show its direction a long time ago into physical culture, and Richard Tucker, and he is the author of Biblical Nutrition. You can get Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors banner ad, or going to randyroach.ca, and you can learn more or get a copy of Biblical Nutrition by going to the website Leviticus 11.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal patch. Stage one releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage two is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies, and no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in tier one labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1, long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay, was geht ab? Guten Morgen, es ist 7:30 Uhr hier auf We Got Soul FM. Und ich habe hier einen heißen Track für einen heißen Tag. Max, sehr schön, dass du wieder da bist, Löwe.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Randy, do you remember my first foray into eating raw meat? I asked you about, should I drink raw milk with it? Would the raw milk have some sort of benefit in helping me digest it? And you referred to something in the Bible about cooking the calf in the mother's milk. You remember that?
I think he's a goat. I think he's called the kid. I think that was possibly more a moralistic type of perspective. Richard could comment here as well. But for me, I don't typically mix even raw milk with raw meat. I've got to be very careful. I eat things very banal. I'll eat just raw meat, possibly raw eggs with it. I'll drink raw milk, typically by itself, or there's a few things I can mix with it. But I typically don't do raw milk right while I'm eating the raw meat.
Richard,
me personally, Richard might do it differently.
Well, Richard, you have a chapter in biblical nutrition that says milk and red meat, and obviously that jumped out at me because I know that in the kosher religion for Jewish people, you can't have a dish that touches dairy or meat at the same time. And I'm just curious what that chapter is about.
Well, basically, it was similar to that one, Carl, and it had to do when they were cooking the foods together. Now, I've come to the conclusion that it has to do with the fact that, you know, they don't mix well when cooked. Now, like Randy, I have consumed raw milk while consuming raw meat, okay? And I've never had any trouble with that. I've also, when I would get a fresh piece of raw meat, I would get some, we have a good source of raw honey that's unheated here. And, you know, when the temperature gets a bit cooler, this stuff will coagulate. And so, you know, we know that it's not, the life hasn't been cooked out of it. You know,
right.
You get your cooked honeys, even if it's 20 below zero, it's still like molasses.
Yeah,
it still
right.
runs a little
right.
bit.
Right.
And what I do is I'll take some of that honey if I want a bit of a different taste and just mix a couple tablespoons in with the raw meat and let it sit there for a couple of hours. And sure enough, this honey that was coagulated basically mixes with the raw meat and half digests it, and the stuff becomes even more tender and of course has a totally different flavor. And so both of them have this chemical reaction on each other, and that stuff is quite good. It works quite well. So you know, in terms of mixing the raw foods, the milk and the meat, I don't think there's any problem at all. I tend not to eat it directly. Like, I don't plan to say, okay, I'm gonna have some raw milk and meat now. Usually it'll just be, all right, I'm going to chop up some raw meat, or just take a piece of raw steak and rip it up and eat, you know, just grab it in my hands and eat it that way. But when it was cooked, yeah, I don't believe they go that well, to be honest.
Yeah.
Now,
why was the land of obviously the term the land of milk and honey implies abundance and obviously some form of prosperity. Why was milk and honey attributed to abundance? Were they the two food sources that actually improved health back in those days?
Basically, yes. Even in fact, I forget one of the chapters. One of the characters in the Bible, you know, spoke of that, basically saying that, you know, after his battle, you know, if he could get onto a little bit of honey, a bit of milk, it would totally rejuvenate him, ready for the next fight. And yeah, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. I've had it where I didn't have access, to meat for a couple of days. I had a bit of honey. We had a bit of milk. And look, it just energizes you. You know,
yeah.
I've found that quite a lot.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, if you don't stuff yourself with it, you have a couple spoons of it, you have a bit of that, and you sort of think of that old passage, and it works. It really works. Basically, you know, lights your eyes up a little bit. It increases your concentration, and that's an instant pickup.
Richard, have you ever eaten raw chicken?
And of course, honey with, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, honey, go ahead. Finish up on honey.
And, you know, I found that, you know, many people will say, okay, diabetics cannot eat honey, and yet you get the raw honey. It has a bit of an insulin factor in there. We have diabetics here that, you know, they can consume this honey. You know, as long as it's raw honey, as long as it hasn't been cooked, they don't have any trouble with their blood sugar. So it doesn't have the same effect as, you know, your classic sugar.
Well, and also
amazingly, go ahead.
It's not honey sometimes. You know,
there's
a whole counterfeit honey movement out there. The honey you buy at your grocery store, while it says honey, may not be. It could be a combination of honey and high fructose corn syrup and other things. We know that there's a counterfeit honey movement out there. And that's why you have to buy your honey from your local family farm like I do.
That's right. That's right. And if you could get that, you're getting the real deal. You know, I find that it's so hard. I mean, people obviously have to read labels that, you know, we're given so many half-truths with the food we eat. You know, they had something on television down here, one of the 60 Minutes shows, that miraculously, you know, was so accurate in terms of the problems with sugar, how sugar creeps into our diets, the fact that sugar does create these problems with receptors, you know, as far as your insulin receptors, the fact that it has a drug addictive effect on people. And I thought, wow, isn't this amazing? Here you have these big food corporations, you know, big food pharma that wouldn't be too happy about this stuff at all. And they're actually putting something across on the TV that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But you have to be so discriminating in what you watch. You know, you had the other one on television where meat kills you. You know, meat increases your mortality. There might have been a correlation there, but there's no causation.
No.
And it was a retrospective cohort study that had very little basis in reality. But you have to be so discriminating to pick it out. But you can. If you look, you can pick holes in these things.
You know, there's another chapter in the book that I've been giving a lot of thought to, quite frankly. And Randy, you and I have talked about this before too. The power of intention. Who's the guy who measured people's strength when they were feeling different senses of love and anger and all that sort of stuff? Do you remember?
Hawkins, Dr. David Hawkins.
Dr. David Hawkins.
He was measuring to see what made the muscle, kinesiologic testing, muscles testing to see what made the body go strong or weak.
And what he found out was that the higher emotions like love tended to make people stronger than the ones like vengeance and jealousy and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it tended to make the body go weak. Yeah, he used that testing to a truth false to test the body, whether it was going weak or strong, whether the body was actually detecting falsehood. And that's how he established and calibrated his mapping or his scale of human consciousness.
Okay, so Richard, you have a chapter in the book that says, always eat with enjoyment. And this is something I've actually been giving a lot of thought to. Is it possible that the state of mind affects how the food is then metabolized?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, of course, Kyle, I can't say here's documentation. I can only talk about anecdotal things. And with that, but oh, yeah, look, if you sit across the table from, you know, an aggressive, obstinate, abusive individual, how good is a meal going to be? Don't care what you're eating. You know, it's going to give you indigestion.
Right.
And, you know, if you eat, you know, in a nice environment, if you're genuinely hungry, if you enjoy the food that you're looking forward to having the meal, you're gonna do a better job of it. I mean, obviously you can't eat rubbish and do that, but you know, it's gonna be a better experience for you all around.
Richard, you remember William Beaumont saying that very thing back in 1820s, 1830s, when he, after working with Alexis St. Martin, he was quite specific about that, making sure you eat in a good state of mind.
Really?
He had affected the digestion.
He actually measured it. That's right.
Yeah, and there's more coming out now with epigenetics and the power of thought and emotion on the body and the cells, and for sure food. And that's why I think with raw food there's a different state to it, whether you want to call it a vibratory state or whatever. Hawkins, when he worked on a scale of human consciousness, was talking about vibration. So it all ties together what you're talking about right here.
Well, you know what else too? There's a new scientific process now called metabolomics, and this is supposedly going to actually help us with the whole epigenetic thing. Metabolomics is where they actually study the metabolized food and what it does in the body under different conditions. And the beauty of metabolomics is they don't have an end point in mind. They just feed somebody the food and they watch the bouquet of metabolites that occur in the body. And then they introduce a condition and they feed a person the food and they watch what happens then, which is, to me, is a much better science than having specified endpoints, which totally cause you to ignore the real value of the research quite often, because all you're doing is looking at these endpoints here.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this term.
It's brand new. It's emerging. It's brand new. I did a show about metabolomics a few months ago, and it's an emerging new science, and you're going to see a lot more about it. And in my humble opinion, it's going to have profound effects on justifying the foods that we eat as the causes for disease today, and hopefully freeing us from the notions that eating raw meats, eating raw eggs, and eating raw milk or drinking raw milk is actually dangerous. So I'm very hopeful about this new emerging science. We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Randy Roach and Richard Tucker. As you know, Randy is the author of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. You can get copies of it at his website, randyroach.ca, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors banner ad. And Richard Tucker's book is called Biblical Nutrition. It's actually in its third edition. It's very inexpensive. It's only $15 at the website Leviticus 11, Leviticus11.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more. The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolone, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works any time. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh yes.
Those of you with thinning hair won't want to miss this show next week when we break the news on a new peptide that appears to be very, very successful at regrowing hair. Yes, it's finally here. We'll talk about that next week. Right now, we're talking with Randy Roach and Richard Tucker. Richard, what about grains? You know, I've always thought of grains as the go-to food to feed the poor and huddled masses, but not the ideal food source. And this is why bread was a staple back in the day. Where do you, what do you feel, how do you feel about grains in this day and age as far as their effects on health?
Well, look, I do feel they slow things down. I agree with what you said, Kyle, about the fact that, yeah, grains are, can be cheaply produced. You know, they're food for the masses, but it's a substitute. It's, you know, when society became organized, when it became gathered, when people started growing food, that's when grains came into play. And, you know, to me, you have this tremendous downside with the grains that, you know, it'll create this indigestibility of something that'll just build up in your system. You know, when people were just foraging for food, it would be difficult for one person to hoard all the food as well. When grains came into play, you can possibly have more of a police state, because people could organize, hoard food, hoard grains, control uh-huh. population by food that way. And yeah, I do agree. It's sort of like creating clinkers in the body.
Yeah.
That you have to cook the grain, you have to grind it, you have to do so much to this food to make it biologically available at all in the system. The thing we found works with grains best of all is we've had a we grow some wheatgrass juice. You know, we'll just get some wheat kernels. We soak them, we plant them, we grow them, and we juice them. I've got a son, one of my boys, he's a very good chemist. Anything I want to know about chemistry, I ask him. The kid's sharp. He was on the New Zealand Olympic training squad for their national chemistry team.
Wow.
I don't even dare to ask him to try to talk about chemistry to him, because he knows all the answers. But he's trying to do some analysis for me, and we're trying to see how much nutrient, how much mineral that wheatgrass can actually pick up, and it seems to be quite significant. We use a small titer of ocean water that we use to water the grains with as we grow the wheatgrass and juice it, and it seems to be quite significant. But he's doing some of that work for us.
Very
actually
cool.
Now trying to but to me, that's how your grains could be best utilized. But you have the problem. You have guys like the paleo guys, like Rob Wolf, people like that, that will make very good arguments for the fact that we can deliver a paleo diet to the masses without the use of all these grains.
Yes.
And to me, this should be pursued. You have the area of hydroponics, things like that, that are so important, and the implications for human health and the human diet of the future are so huge that I think you're going down the right track. But, you know, breads, grains, you know, I've never gone that well on them, to be honest.
Randy,
I think a marathon runner who's burning stuff up like crazy, yeah, they can process them a bit better, but you're still going to get that buildup in your stomach.
Well, we talked about how bad marathon running is for you. There's another famous marathoner that just died at 58 of a heart attack. You want to destroy your heart, become a marathon runner. It's counterintuitive.
Yeah, they just burn up their bodies.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, do you eat any grains at all?
Yeah, you know, once in a while. But like you guys are saying, that they're certainly not a performance food. Like, they're more of a sit down with the guys, so starting to have, you know, you have something different. You know, but for a day-to-day when I'm training for performance, I don't like them in my diet, and I don't do well on them. Like I said, I had my experiences as a vegan, vegetarian, and I did not do well at all. In fact, just almost starved myself. I just couldn't digest most of the food that way. Plus, their standard agriculture today, we're just destroying our lands.
Yeah.
And it's not good for the environment at all.
Yeah.
That type of agriculture.
Randy, do you know that of the top 10 all-time most listened to episodes of Superhuman Radio, that the one that is steadily number 3, 4, or 5 for years now? When did we do the show with Josh Trentine on raw food eating as effective as anabolic steroids? I'm trying to think
2 years ago.
Let me
see. Roughly just over 2 years ago.
We've
done three, right? I think the first one maybe two.
I got it right here. It was January 6, 2010. January 6, 2010.
Well, that's pretty close. That's 2 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? That show continues to be in the top 5 most popular shows ever listened to. The other ones cycle in and out, but that one has always been there. Isn't that amazing, Richard?
Well, to me, you know, when I was a young kid, the neighborhood I grew up in Chicago, look, you had a in some of the places there, you wanted to be packing something to walk through it. You didn't even want to drive through it in case you got a flat tire. So you're always trying to say, hey, how can I get stronger, tougher, meaner, so I can deal with the stuff that goes on? And anything in a natural line that's going to make you, that, you're always interested in. You know, when you asked how did I get started, how did I get interested in nutrition and that, yeah, it was part of it. It was to basically to survive in the neighborhood.
Right.
We used to have a kid used to hang out halfway going to school. He'd try to rip you off for your money every day. He'd
right.
try to shake you down. And I just basically wanted to kick his ass.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Or avoid him, which meant I either had to get stronger or run a hell of a lot faster than I was doing. And so that sort of thing motivates you to say get fitter, get stronger. And any food that you can have that's going to give you an edge, yeah, you bet. I was interested in it.
He had some good mentors in Chicago there, too, didn't he?
For sports as well.
What was that, Randy?
He said Richard had some good training mentors in Chicago at the Duncan Y. He was. I wrote about a few of them. He's very, you know, fortunate to have trained at the Duncan at its height. You were there pretty much at its height, were you not, Richard?
Pretty much. There were some guys. He had Bob Guy that got all these York lifters down there because he wanted to compete nationally. And he'd find jobs for these fellows, and you walk in and you say, hey, look, there's Phil Grappaldi. He was on Strength and Health cover last night. There's this fellow. There's Joe Puglio. There's Russell Nipp, and there's this fellow. And they were all very helpful guys. And, I mean, this is in the days when, steroids were still legal. You know, you had Dianabol. They used to call it the Gentle Blue pill. You dropped the Gentle Blue. And, sure, hey, steroids work. But I'll tell you something that, you can still make very good gains, you know, using the raw foods.
Yeah.
And you know, it was there, it was cheap, and yet the guys were very good trainers because they to them it was sort of like giving back. There were young guys, they were at the top of their game, some of them were just coming off the top, and yet they'd still give you their time. And as long as you were going in there and you weren't just screwing around, they'd give you the time of day, and it helped get you on the right track. And, yes, I made some good friends when I was a kid with those boys.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to be when you were growing up. Listen, we've come to the end of the interview. I want to thank both of you. Richard, it's now 6 a.m. in New Zealand Thursday. Can you give me the lottery numbers? I can go back and could you get my newspaper and tell me what won today so I can play it today?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was trying to say who won at the racetrack last night.
Yeah.
If we get you the results, we'd be laughing.
Yeah,
wouldn't we?
Yeah, yeah. We got to figure out how to do that. I got to think about that. And of course, Randy Roach, always a pleasure to have you on the show, Randy.
Thanks again, Carl.
Okay, we'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, bye now.
Thanks to everybody for listening to the show today. We've got another great show planned for you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.